Blog Talk Radio.
Can you only imagine? Can you imagine just standing before the king? Oh, I can only imagine what it would be like when I walk by your side. I can only imagine. For me, I can only imagine. I could only imagine to be surrounded by your glory. What will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus?
Cleansing power that you can't find in the warehouses and storehouses and downtown or uptown or back of town. They're resting in the heavens. Have I got a wonder? Must understand that. Y'all gonna help me? We must always keep in mind. Yeah, that God is there waiting and ready to forgive us. And not only forgive us, but to wash away our sin. Have I got a witness yet? See, the devil is not hindered by that which is upon you. He is hindered by that which is within you. See, when you release on the devil what's on the inside of you, he's got to flee. Because see, you resist him with that which is inside of you. I'm getting ready to go crazy here tonight. Somebody ought to shout hallelujah. Yeah. See, this is what you got to keep in mind. See, the devil is worried about that inner man. He ain't worried about what he see. What he see, he can handle that. But what he don't see and what he can't see is too much for him. Somebody ought to shout out, glory to God. Praise his name. Lord have mercy. Woo, yatarabaka. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Shake somebody's hands. I'm getting ready to run the devil back in hell. I'm getting ready to run him back in hell. Did you tell your neighbor when you sit down here tonight, good night, how you doing? Or did you just bop down and looking over side the wall to keep them looking at them? Did you recognize that it's a privilege for you to sit with the believers? Did you know that? Did you know that you are blessed to sit by that person you're sitting by? Right now, something could be going wrong in your body, and God had you to sit next to that person. And by sitting next to that person, that anointing that is upon that person is bringing healing to your body. Somebody ought to shout hallelujah.
Amen, amen. You were listening to the opening rendition from Tamla Mann, I Can Only Imagine. Amen. And I'm sure this here song will be our theme throughout the evening, because I thought it was appropriate because of our guest that we have here with us today. I'm certain he can say, I can only imagine, amen, the things that God has prepared for those that serve him. Amen. I can only imagine. And also, we played three snippets of some clips from his father, the late Prophet Robert C. Blake, Sr. of New Orleans, Louisiana. We're just so honored today, and as I've been saying, I would open up with, I'm ecstatically happy. Well, today is one of those days that I am ecstatically happy and honored to have our guest with us on this evening. Amen. And we're going to read a bio on the man of God, and then we're going to get right on into a little short, brief interview, and then we're going to have him to expound a little bit on the series that we have been doing for the past 2 weeks, the Acts of the Apostles. We're on chapter 13. Amen. But we're going to ask Liberal Democrat to open up with the word of prayer for us on today, and then we're going to get started with this segment. Amen. Minister Democrat, God bless you today.
Amen, amen, amen. Lord, in the name of Jesus.
Jesus.
Amen. We thank you even now, God. Hallelujah. Amen for the words that we have heard, amen, of God, knowing, amen, of God, that Rhema word is on its way, amen, asking God, those that are listening, oh God, amen, that you go in every home, amen, of God, every telephone, God, every computer, that no weapon formed against us today shall prosper, and that this word will fall on good ground. Amen.
Good
speaking
ground.
Right now, you bless the overseer, God. Bless, amen, of God, those assigned to this ministry, oh God. Amen. And begin to activate in them and in us, oh God. Amen, of God, those gifts that you have given us, oh God. Activate those gifts of healing. Activate those gifts of prophecy. Activate those gifts of teaching, God. Activate those gifts, amen, of God, that you have given us for the perfection of the church. We pray this even now, God. And, oh God, those spirits, those lingering spirits, those lurking spirits, oh God. Amen. We begin to cancel their assignments even now. Amen of God, that amen of God, that somebody, amen of God, can hear this word, amen of God, and not be bothered by the devil. Amen. We cancel your assignment, demon, in the name of Jesus. How we understand that you have been assigned, and we understand what your job is, but understand our job is to rebuke you. And we rebuke you in the name of Jesus right now. As the man of God come forward, that you bless his ministry, oh God, and bless the words that come out of his mouth. We speak this even now, God, that your angels, amen, be hedged around this broadcast. We speak it in Jesus' name, and somebody said amen. Hallelujah.
Amen, amen, amen.
Hallelujah.
And we're going to move forward. We're going to read this little brief bio, and then we're going to come on and bring the man of God on that has taken out of his busy schedule to come and minister a word and to share some good news with us. Amen. I'm located in Stockton, California, and of course you're listening to A Time of Reflection with New Destiny Ministries, where we are empowering souls for destiny. Amen. Let's read this bio. R.C. Blake Jr. is the husband of Lisa Blake and father of four beautiful kids. He is the eldest son of the late Bishop Robert C. Blake Sr., and he and his brother Samuel Blake worked together to oversee the New Home Family of Churches, a ministry encompassing six locations from Louisiana to Texas. He has been in ministry 31 years and has been pastoring for 25 years. He serves as the senior pastor of the New Home Family Worship Center in New Orleans, Louisiana, and Houston, Texas. He has a Master's of Theology from Christian Bible College of Louisiana and is a nationally sought-after teacher of the Word of God. R.C. Blakes is a regular teacher on World Harvest International Television Network. He and his brother Samuel host their own national television broadcast on the Word Network weekly. He and his family own and operate KKNO, a Christian radio station in New Orleans, Louisiana. You all hear me emphasizing New Orleans. This is my homeboy today. Amen. As the young people say, my homie. Amen. His teaching style is life application and is based on exposing the principles of the Word of God. People gain a workable knowledge of the Bible as he expounds on the scripture. His ministry is characterized as positive, practical, and prophetic. Amen. Most of you all know that I am a native of New Orleans, Louisiana, and it just does my heart proud today to just have this man of God with us today. He is the first one, really, the first dignitary that I'm interviewing and have ministering on this broadcast. I had extended this invitation to my girlfriend, Pastor Deborah Martin. I have to let her know that you beat her to the punch, Pastor Blake. But I tell you, I have embraced, I've been communicating with him for about a couple of months now. And, of course, you all have heard us announcing this conference, this one-night conference that he'll be hosting next Friday here in Oakland, California. So I've been inviting all of my sisters and my girlfriends to come and meet us there in Oakland. But we'll talk about that a little bit later. But anyway, we'd like to just welcome Pastor Horace C. Blake, and we would like to hear in your own words, who is R.C. Blake, Jr.? God bless you.
First of all, I want to take this time to just thank you for this awesome, awesome, awesome privilege to share with your audience and, you know, just to know you and to have made the connection has just been such a blessing to me. R.C. Blake, Jr. is simply a servant on assignment. I know what God put me in the earth for, and that is to empower people through the Word of God, to bring people into an intimate relationship with God, and to bring people to a place of self-awareness through God awareness. That's R.C. Blake, Jr. in a nutshell.
Wow. Now, Pastor Blake, can you tell us a little something? You know, we have so many bad images about the city of New Orleans, and many of us witnessed the travesty that happened with the scene there. Can you tell us a little bit about the city of New Orleans post-Hurricane Katrina and how the city and the residents are moving forward?
The city of New Orleans has, that since that great tragedy, Hurricane Katrina it is, the city of New Orleans has come together as a community because there was such a slow moving relative to aid coming even from our own government. What that tragedy did was it birthed a sense of self-motivation within the community. And I think we learned from that experience that we could pull together, and pull ourselves out of anything with our own personal motivation and with God's help. The city of New Orleans is on track to be greater than it's ever been before. I think that the community is more organized. I know that we're more spiritual for obvious reasons. And I see us moving in a direction that in a decade or so is going to make us probably the jewel of the nation. I really believe that with all of my heart. I believe that with all of my heart.
Wow. That is amazing. And, you know, as Christians and as people of God, we should be jewels. We should be examples. We should be at the forefront of every movement that's involving the people of God. Amen.
Amen.
We
Amen.
Should pride ourselves on being the products of everything that is good, everything that is marvelous. Now,
Amen.
Those of you that don't know, many would think you just arrived, but as we read your bio, you have been in ministry over 31 years and have been pastoring for 25 years. So you just didn't take over the helm of pastoring at the passing of your late father. You were already pastoring your own ministry, am I correct?
Absolutely. New Home Family of Churches is, as you read, is comprised of multiple locations. And I suppose it was through the wisdom of God operating in my father 25, 26 years ago now, that he established a New Home Family Worship Center in East New Orleans, and he put me there as a very young man. And he allowed me to learn and to grow under his observation. And so while he was yet in his season of destiny, as he was manifesting all that God had called him to be, myself and my brother, he had placed us in works where we could learn and we could observe him, make our mistakes, but under his observation. So by the time of my father's passing, by the wisdom of God that had operated in him, we were seasoned men of God, not novices. And I think it was just a phenomenal model that he utilized, that he instituted, should I say, relative to our development as spiritual leaders, to put us in position of leadership while he was yet able to keep his hands on us and teach us and guide us.
All right. Amen. Y'all still there?
Yes, I am.
Amen. Praise the Lord. It looks like we're having some technical difficulties and whatnot.
All right. Praise the Lord. I'm sorry, Pastor Blake. I was saying, you recently have been elevated to the office of presiding prelate of the Family of Churches Fellowship International, headquartered in New Orleans. I had the privilege of viewing a few of those photos from that gathering. Can you tell us what will distinguish this fellowship from the numerous fellowships that we hear of and know of today?
Well, I'll say this to you. My father spoke of having establishing or developing a fellowship of churches more than two decades ago. And in those conversations that I had with him, he talked about developing a fellowship that would really intently focus on the startup preacher, the startup pastor, that would focus on the ministry that may not have had or may not have as many people or as much resource, and provide a place of covering for them. And I asked Dad over and over, was it time for me to move forward with starting it, with launching it? And he always put me off, even to months before he passed. He said, not now. He said, but you'll do it. After my father passed, yeah, he did say that. He said, you'll do it. After he passed, the Holy Spirit said to me that I must go forward with it. The thing that I believe, and I say believe because I've not been a part of any fellowship outside of the New Home Family of Churches, my own personal ministry. And I've not really been privy to what goes on in many of them, but I will tell you what the Holy Spirit has distinctly set us aside to do. I don't know if others are doing it or not, but I know what we're here for. And that is to establish a fellowship. The Family of Churches Fellowship International is focused on building ministries from the ground up. The Lord said it is not to be a fellowship that creates just an additional platform for those who already have a platform. Rather, it is to be a fellowship for those who have a platform to create a platform for those who have none. And to build the fellowship from the ground up as opposed to making the fellowship top-heavy. You know, I see in some instances, as I observe, that many times fellowships, organizations, conventions, whatever you might call them, many times they just become platforms for men, additional platforms for men or women who already have a platform. And the little guy or the little lady at the bottom propping up people who really don't need to be propped up but have the means to prop others up.
All right.
I think the thing that will distinguish us is that people will discover that it is sincerely and genuinely our purpose to take the person, the man, the woman of God, who may be on the backside of the mountain and may not have any spotlight shining on them, to pull them forward, to give them an opportunity to be seen. The Lord said to me, and I shared with them in the vision casting session on yesterday, that our annual meetings will not be meetings where we have a week-long lineup of major names, national and international names, but rather we will use or utilize the gifts that are in the fellowship itself. I'm not in the business of trying to be bigger than anybody else. I'm not trying to see how big of an arena I can fill up with people. I'm not trying to have a ridiculous budget for a conference every year.
Mm-mm.
The purpose of our fellowship is to build the man, the woman of God, who has not had connection, who's not had the kind of spotlight on them, because many of our greatest leaders and preachers and teachers have never been seen or heard.
Come on,
and
now.
Just like I had a father to take and to build a platform for me and to teach me and to guide me and to shine a light on my gifts, the Lord said, now is the season and time for me to use my affluence and influence for those who have none. That is the purpose of our fellowship.
I like that. You know, I fell in love with you. You have such a meek and humble spirit, and that's what impressed me. You know, you can even, you know, we identify with people by sound or sight. And
amen.
Didn't identify with you by your sound, but I identified with you by your sight. And the
amen.
Things that I was able to read, and I just was drawn to you because of the spirit of meekness that clearly you have a gift of meekness, and I'm finding out that without that gift, we can't really meet the needs of people. And I like you said about creating this platform for those that may never have a platform, not opening up where you need these big, mega, well-known, published ministers in the gospel to draw people in for whatever agendas we may have.
Amen.
And, you know, the Lord had given me a vision of that same format of going in to areas and helping those smaller churches and those pastors that may not, some of the community may not even know they're there.
Amen.
Because of, you know, not having those doors of opportunities open to them. So I really like that. I really like that. But we're going to move on. I've seen some of your postings and what have you. You teach a series about 8 ways to destroy a marriage. Today, there are as many believers, and please hear me as I emphasize, there are as many believers getting divorced as there are non-believers. Could
Absolutely.
You share a little of those 8 ways that you say can destroy a marriage with our listeners? Somebody may be on this line that's under attack right now, and maybe if you just stressed a few of those points, that can help get them back on board again.
Well, one of the things, so as not to give away my whole message,
right.
But one of the things that, because I'm certain that a lot of our people between New Orleans and Texas are listening to us now, and I'll be teaching this in a couple of weeks. But
one of the ways
that I find in these, you know, these points that I'm going to be teaching in this particular lesson come from my observations through counseling sessions. Mm-hmm. And one of the ways that I find that people can destroy an absolutely great marriage is to begin to invest more time in careers, even in ministry, or even in children, than you do your spouse.
Mm.
I think sometimes we get so caught up in other matters that we lose sight of the first ministry.
Mm.
And if we're married, the Bible says that our first ministry is really to that home, to that spouse.
And if
a person is not prepared to take on that kind of mature mindset and responsibility, marriage is not for them. I've seen great pastors who had great marriages, but spent all of their time in ministry with the church and absolutely
mm-hmm.
none at home.
Mm.
And this lack of balance eroded the foundations of a otherwise great marriage. And a lot of people are so in pursuit of careers, in pursuit of life's goals, that they forsake the marriage. You have mothers many times that are so in love with their children, they pay no attention to their husbands. Only to discover 18, 19 years later, when the child has grown up and moves on with his or her significant other, you're left there with your husband, but now there's no foundation. A second thing is that I find that when we become, when we explode, you know, we have a tendency to explode in marriages over the negatives and never celebrate the positives.
Mm.
We'll spend a whole half a night complaining about what a person didn't do right, and then when they finally get it right, sometimes we won't even mention it at all. A third thing that will destroy an otherwise excellent marriage is when we lose the power of meaningful conversation. The soul has to be stimulated. You know, a lot of young people believe that marriage is about the physical aspect, the romantic and the sexual aspects of it. But real marriage is about much more than that. Real marriage is about being able to connect with a person on a spiritual and on a soulish level. And when we lose the conversation, when there's no conversation, when there's nothing that we have in common that brings us to a place of meaningful conversation, when we're no longer interested in the same thing, it's then that we open the door for the enemy to come in, and all we need is to go to the job or even go to the church and find someone who's interested in what we're interested in and having conversation on levels that we like. Now you have a door wide open for the enemy. So these kinds of practical things, observations that I've made, and along with five or so others, that I'm going to share with the people of God, very practical, and then we're going to tie scripture to it, obviously, to show them how this is based in the Word of God.
Wow. Well, Pastor Blakes, I know I see you commuting from New Orleans to Houston, and you're always so busy, and you're always so responsive to people on the social media and what have you. So I say, wow, do you ever sleep? Amen. So as you're teaching these ways to maintain that excellent marriage, I'm sure, you know, there's times where you may not be able to be hands-on with your daughters. And I see you have a series or some conferences that you're holding with these father and daughter talks. So
Amen. How
do you find time to balance it all?
Well, I think balance is something that we're constantly in pursuit of. And what I've personally done with my life, because there is not, for me, there are not, should I say, enough minutes in a day, not enough hours in a day or months in a year, what I've done is I have intentionally involved my children in my life so that they understand what I'm doing. And they're not just observing it from an outside perspective and not having inside understanding. When I'm not around, I go into detail as it relates to what I'm doing and I explain. And when those things arise that are very important to my kids, if I have to eliminate ministry opportunities or other things to make them priority, I always do that. I'm always there for the stuff that is very important to them.
Oh.
And before I do things, I will actually have conversation with them to find out what's going on with them, what's coming up, do they need me to be there, would they like for me to be X, Y, Z, and I've always made a habit of adjusting my schedule for my children. So my children don't grow up resenting ministry or resenting church, so I have to feel as though church and ministry took their father away from them. And I'm constantly in pursuit of that balance. They tell me that I'm doing a pretty good job of it, hoping that I am, but they always know my heart. They always know my heart. I've actually flown to places and flown back the same day just to be at something the next morning for my kids. So they've seen that measure of sacrifice for them. They've not seen me make any sacrifice for ministry that they've not seen me make even a greater sacrifice relative to them. So that's the balance. And when they understand it, when they know what I'm doing, they understand the purpose of it, they feel a sense of pride and involvement in it. And they feel as though they're allowing me to go in to do all that I do is a kingdom investment on their part. And that's my way. That's my way of really striving to maintain that balance, especially with my daughters, just involving them and making them always know that they're priority.
Amen, amen. Now, what about your wife, Pastor Blakes? Is your wife in ministry? Is she a minister of the gospel, or how does her role come into play with you being in ministry?
My wife has not made any official announcement to the fivefold ministry. However, my wife is a tremendous Bible teacher.
Okay.
And, just recently, I had a discussion with the congregation in Houston.
That's fivefold ministry right there, teacher.
That's fivefold ministry. She's just not announced it.
She hasn't announced it. I got you.
She hasn't announced it, but she functions in it. She flows in it. And recently, I was just sharing with the church, you know, just kind of laying out how lines of authority flow in the church, and I made the distinction that my wife is my helpmeet, which means that she's going to help me with whatever I need her to help me with. She really walks alongside me, and she really carries the pastoral mantle and anointing just as myself. She serves as a spiritual mother to our young women and even our older women. She's a beautiful example of what it means to be a first lady or to be the wife of a pastor. She's hands-on. She's not one of these first ladies that would prefer to just sit on the front row with a big hat.
All right.
But, you know, she's hands-on. If there's some cleaning up going around, she wants to be involved in that. One Saturday she was out there trying to do the lawn with the brothers, and they had to run away from there because that's the kind of servant spirit she has. She's very involved in everything that I do. She keeps my schedule for me. She keeps me on track. You know, she's just she's the prime example of what a helpmeet is for a man like myself.
Amen, amen. Now, what about your mother, Pastor Blakes? And then I have one more question, and I'll let you expound a little bit on the word. What about your mother? How has this transition been since the passing of your father? I know your mother pretty much oversee the radio ministry, your radio station there in New Orleans.
Yes, ma'am. Tell us
to share a little bit about how your mother have transitioned during the loss of your father.
She has proven to have a strength that is probably greater than my father had or my brother and I have.
My.
She has transitioned tremendously. She's a very strong little lady. She's a very prayerful lady.
Mm.
And her role in ministry now is that she serves as obviously the, we call her the matriarch of the family of churches, because she walked for 50 years alongside my father as he obeyed God and built this ministry to what it has become. So in ministry, we honor her just as we honored my father as the patriarch. She's the mother of the family of churches, and now she's the mother of the Family of Churches Fellowship International. She's taken on sons and daughters from one end of the country to the other.
Mm-hmm.
She's very involved in terms of the administrative side of our local ministry, of our personal ministry, should I say, the New Home Family of Churches. And she's also a tremendous teacher. She has confessed her calling, her sent to the fivefold ministry as a teacher. And she does a fantastic job of it. She manages and she runs our radio station. She has a master's degree in counseling from Xavier University. She spends a lot of time counseling. One of her roles in the fellowship is going to be to really train and to undergird and to counsel the wives of pastors and women in ministry.
Wow.
She has tremendous, tremendous wisdom in her. I would not dare tell you how old she is. She looks nothing like her actual age.
Looks
but
good.
She's a woman
yeah.
of great strength and health and a youthful spirit. And her role is invaluable. It's actually invaluable. We thank God for Mom. She's my little intercessor. She's my counselor. She's just a blessing.
Amen. That's priceless. The gift of a mother is priceless. Well, we're going to wrap up the last question, and we want you to expound a little bit on this chapter 13. I'm going to wrap up this last question where you can tell us a little bit about Good Girls Night in the Word conference, since you will be here in the Bay Area, Oakland, California, next Friday. And we're so looking forward to coming and support and hearing what you will be imparting to us on that night. Now, on the flyer, it says you will be teaching 10 habits of successful women.
Powerful women. Powerful women.
Powerful
10
women.
10 habits of powerful women. Yes, ma'am.
All right. So tell us what we can look forward to, those of us that's here on the West Coast and Southern California and Northern California. We're looking to come out and really meet and greet you for the very first time. So we're excited about this. And I know on tomorrow I see you hosting a conference in Shreveport, Louisiana. How was this birth? I see a crux of men teaching women. And, you know, when I came in this thing 30 years ago, it was like it was not co-ed. It was like the men taught the men and the women taught the women. So now I'm seeing more men teaching on the subject of women and the things that they need to be successful spiritually and naturally. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, what happened was probably three or more years ago now, I was I utilized social media for ministry.
All right, I like that.
And yeah, I utilize it for ministry. I don't utilize it for anything else. I utilize it for ministry. And about three or more years ago, I was on Facebook, and I read a thing from a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful young sister, young black girl. She was obviously educated. You could tell by her the words, her punctuation. You could tell she was educated, and she was talking to other women, and she said something to this effect, and I'm paraphrasing. She said, use your brains, use your education, use your articulation. And she went on to rattle off a few more positive things that women should use to get ahead. But then she closed the thing with saying, if all else fails, fall back on your derriere. But she didn't use that term.
Mm-hmm.
And it really knocked me off of my seat, so to speak, that a young woman who obviously had or has so much going for could be so deluded that she would buy into a male-dominated society's standard for her.
Mm.
You know, obviously at that point, she had watched too many videos, she's seen too many movies, and she's allowed the media and a perverted male-dominated society to set her personal standards in life. And as I prayed about that thing, being a father of three daughters myself, to me, said, this young lady has not had the father-daughter talk.
Mm.
There has not been a significant male in her life that has said to her, you're valuable, you're worth more than this.
Mm.
So as a consequence, she is using her body
Mama.
To try to attain or procure the attention and attraction from any male that she can. But this is what she should have gotten from a well-adjusted, loving relationship with a father.
Mm.
And then the Holy Spirit said to me, when the natural fathers are out of place in the lives of daughters, it is then the responsibility of spiritual fathers to subsidize for that lack. And it was from that point that I realized that as a spiritual father over so many daughters, spiritual daughters, who have not had natural fathers in place, that I had to make some adjustments to my message to minister specifically to the needs of hurting women, because women have hurts and issues that men don't recognize nor do they share.
I'm on that.
Because women many times are hurt by the men in their lives, from their husbands to even their pastors, they're hurt. And many times as men, we're hurting women ignorantly, not understanding where the sister's coming from or how she's thinking, because most of the time we don't pay attention. So this is where it was birthed. The Lord said you have to begin to speak into the lives of women so as to compensate for what they have not gotten in the natural.
Mm.
And as I have done this for these many years now, we are seeing young women making better decisions.
They have
come out of abusive and useless relationships with men who had no good intention. They have gone back to school to educate themselves. They have stopped depending on men for their provision. They're empowering themselves to take care of themselves. It has just been phenomenal to see how the Word of God can have such a real, tangible impact on the lives of people. But that's where it comes from. And on Friday night in Oakland, there's this message that God has given me that I'm anxious to share with them relative to the 10 habits of a powerful woman, a woman that is in control of her life no matter what the circumstances are, a woman that is not codependent, only God-dependent.
That's going to be
the focal point of our evening. And I believe, as I have taught this everywhere I've gone, the response has always been that women leave that meeting with a greater sense of self-awareness and a greater sense of their God ability. But that's where we're going with it. And I'm excited about it.
Wow. Well, I'm excited about it too. So I'm asking all of our listening audience, those of you that are in Northern and Southern California and the surrounding areas to join us in Oakland, California at 7 p.m. I don't have the address before me, but we have been announcing this for about over a month now. So we're excited about that. So we're going to conclude this interview, but we're going to let Pastor Blakes Amen. And we just want to congratulate you again to your elevation as the presiding prelate of the Family of Churches Fellowship International. And I know you all are headquartered there in New Orleans, and we're just so proud of the work that you are doing. We're on a series now called the Acts of the Apostles, and we are teaching from the book of Acts. And that's how the disciples, that's how the apostles were able to learn. They were able to learn by watching Jesus. Amen. And
amen.
I heard somewhere where you said that you learn from your spiritual father, which was Prophet Blake, your father, and everything, the things that you learn were caught rather than taught. So we're going to give you some time to expound upon this chapter, and we pray that our listeners will be able to glean something from that. Amen. So we just so honored and so blessed to have you with us. And that was, I didn't know I was going to get so in depth with this interview, but it's so much when you have when you have and you are still yet striving and doing the work of ministry, doing the work of the kingdom. You know, we can't cover everything in one session, and we don't want to bore you and extend this out, because we certainly would like to invite you to come back and share with us again.
I would love
Amen.
To.
Gonna, let some of you all that have not, don't even know this awesome man of God to hear a little bit on him teaching something to us today out of the book of Acts. We're in chapter 13. God bless you, Pastor Blake.
God bless you. Thank you so much for this tremendous opportunity. And this particular book is very special to me because of my personal experience, having grown up under my father, Bishop Prophet Robert Charles Blake Sr., a man back in the 70s who was a traditional Baptist preacher in every sense of the word. God took him and filled him with the Holy Spirit and brought him into the operation of the gifts and the fullness of the Spirit in the Baptist church. And so as a child, I watched my father, traditional Baptist preacher, transition from a conventional preacher to one that would flow in the things of the Spirit of God, and as a consequence, transitioned or transformed the Black Baptist Church in America. So this book is very dear to me because it was very dear to my father for obvious reasons, because the book of Acts is really the record of the acts of the Holy Spirit through the apostles. In this session, I want to kind of look at Acts 13, and we'll look at by the time I'm through, we'll look at verses 1 through 12. In Acts 13, 1 through 3, it says, "Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away." In this block of verses, there are a few things that stand out. Number one, we see that in verse 1, he says that there were prophets and teachers there. We see the continuation of the ministry of prophets in the New Testament church. Some say that the ministry of the prophet is no longer. In fact, in one particular place of study that I matriculated for a while, they did not believe in prophets. They didn't believe that there were New Testament prophets. But if you read the Bible, you find a record of prophets all throughout the New Testament. And in Ephesians 4, 11 through 13, it says, "And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints." The New Testament prophet's role is different than the Old Testament prophet, in that the Old Testament prophet was there to be the oracle of God for the purposes of being the secretary of the Holy Spirit to write the scripture. The New Testament prophet is one that takes that scripture and by the anointing on his or her life can unfold it and pull out the mystery of it. The New Testament prophet is one of the most prolific teachers of the fivefold ministry because he or she brings forth the revelation of the scripture. But we see here clearly that there are New Testament prophets. The second thing that we see is the order, or God's order for revelation. When we need a revelation from God, when we need to hear from the Holy Spirit, what do we do? I believe it's right here in the scripture. It says, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Bible says, the Holy Ghost said. When we need to hear something from God, God needs to hear something from us. Sometimes we're in seasons where we need to know which way to turn, and we're so worried about it, we're so concerned about it, and we're mentioning it, and we're asking other people about it. But when we learn to turn our attention to God and begin to minister to God in prayer, in praise, in worship, when we turn our attention to God, God then turns his voice towards us. When you need a revelation from God, it's not time to go into a worry session. It's time to go into an atmosphere of praise and prayer and worship and let God hear something from you. And when you generate that atmosphere, it is then that you will cut away the flesh that is prohibiting you from hearing the voice of God, and you will be raptured into a spiritual place where God's voice will be made perfectly clear to you. Jeremiah 29 and 13 says, and you shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all of your heart. There are many that are listening to us today who need to know, God, which way should I turn? I talked to a young man today, in fact, and he's trying to make a decision about a wife, and he's asking me about my opinion. And I gave him my opinion, but I told him that you need to go into some private praise and worship time and prayer time with God. And as you are in the face of God, it is then that God's voice will be made clearer in your spirit. But it was as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost spoke clearly. The third thing we see in Acts 13 and 2 is that the fivefold ministry position are not by the will or volition of men, but by the will of God. He says in Acts 13 and 2, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. I think that this is important because we live in a day and time in the religious world, where men are often appointed to positions that they're not anointed for. We live in a title-driven, a power-hungry generation. And men are trying to place themselves on platforms that God has not called them to. I liken this era to the experience of Saul and David. Saul was the people's choice. Saul was appointed. God just submitted to what the people wanted. And God allowed Saul to be appointed as king. But David was God's exclusively anointed. It is dangerous to occupy a place in ministry that God has not called you to. If the Holy Spirit has not called you, you should not go. I was thinking about this thing today, and the Holy Spirit said to me, he said, a person that goes into an area of fivefold ministry that they've not been called to, though you may have gone through the traditional Baptist church process of election, and maybe the church elected you, if God has not called you, it is like a person showing up at the airport, packing your bags, waking up, driving to the airport to catch a plane, do not have a ticket for. You may show up, but you'll never take off.
Lord Jesus.
The Holy Spirit called and separated these men for this work. I don't want to do anything that the Holy Spirit has not endorsed.
Mm.
There are a lot of areas of ministry from the outside that look glamorous and it's appealing. And younger men and women of God may think that they can do that. Maybe you feel as though you have the gifting and the attributes of that particular office. If you do not know that the Holy Spirit has called you to that, please do not go. These men were called and anointed of the Holy Spirit. Look what Paul says in Galatians 1:1. He says, Paul, an apostle. Now listen to the words of Paul in Galatians 1:1. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ. There's going to be a time in ministry where there will be no man for you to lean on.
All right.
And if you do not know that it is God that has brought you out here into this field of ministry, you'll be all alone. Paul says, my calling, my ascent to this apostleship has nothing to do with man. I didn't go out here on my own, nor did man set me up. It was by Jesus Christ. It's dangerous to have an appointing without an anointing. Ephesians 4:11, he says, and he gave some, meaning all or not. Now, one of the things that concerns me today is that I see too many ministers that are driven by titles, and we want titles before we really have a foundation. He gave some, all are not apostles, all are not prophets, all are not evangelists, all are not pastors or teachers. He gave some. The fourth thing in Acts 13:8 that we see here, in Acts 13:8, it says, but Elymas, the sorcerer, now you read the verses, you know, prior to, but I'm just jumping through. He says, Elymas, the sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. They had been preaching the gospel, and a certain official was getting ready to be saved, and there in verse 8, this sorcerer pops up, and he gives them opposition. The fourth thing we see is that the gospel ministry always has spiritual opposition. If you do not have opposition, you are either not called or you're not doing the work. Whenever you are functioning in the work that God has called you to, you will always have opposition, and it will be spiritual opposition. It may come in the form of men or women, but it will be spiritual opposition that will always come against you. So as a man or woman of God, wisdom says, when I begin to do the work that God has truly called me to, I should expect opposition to show up. And when that opposition shows up, I must not be discouraged. Actually, I must count it all joy. Because when they got into the grips of doing the work that God had called and anointed them to do, and souls were getting ready to be saved, here this spiritual opposition shows up. And the ministry, the gospel ministry, is riddled with spiritual enemies. And they, many times, the pastors, they sit in our pews and they call us pastor. Sometimes they'll go as far as to call you my spiritual father. And they're straight from the devil. You will always have opposition. In Ephesians chapter 6, verses 12 and 13, he says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. 13, he says, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. He says, stand. but there will always be spiritual opposition. This is why every man or woman of God has to have a daily relationship and fellowship in the Holy Spirit.
Mm.
You cannot fight spiritual forces with natural means. If you are not built up in the things of the Spirit, if you do not have a relationship with the Holy Ghost, and if you're not filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, if all you have are your degrees from the seminary, and you don't have the power of the Holy Spirit, you are not prepared for spiritual warfare.
Mm.
When you are in the calling of God for your life, you will have every spiritual force imaginable coming against you. You know, if it's in recent times, within the last year or so, I understand that we've had, I think, 13 pastors that have committed suicide.
Mm.
Because there are spiritual forces that come against the men and women of God. And when we are not aware, and when we are not prepared for these attacks, it is then that we are overtaken. But now I like what I see here in this Acts chapter 13. And number 5 is that we see that we have authority. Though we have this opposition, we see that we also have authority over all spiritual enemies. You know, here in New Orleans, and you being from New Orleans, Evangelist Bernard,
mm-hmm.
you know that a big thing down here in the South is that people believe in witchcraft.
Come on, that's
and many times
thing.
They get afraid that somebody's working something or that, you know, somebody's doing something against them and all of that kind of stuff. And the thing I have to teach people, if your walk with God is where it's supposed to be,
all right.
and if you're really walking in the power of the Holy Spirit, there is no witchcraft or power of the devil that can come against you that will ever succeed. No weapon formed against you will ever prosper. But if we look in Acts 13, verses 8 through 12, he says, "But Elymas the sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Then Saul, who also is called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost," that's important, "set his eyes on him and said, Oh, full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And now, behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee." He's talking to this sorcerer. "And thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. Then the deputy, when he saw what was done, believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord." So we see this sorcerer that comes on the scene to prohibit the gospel from going forth. And we see the man of God filled with the Holy Spirit. The Bible says he set his eyes on him, meaning he what? Discerned him.
Mm.
When you're full of the Holy Spirit, there's nothing that did not come from God that can come into your atmosphere that you will not recognize. When the devil can slide in and out of your life, your prayer life is not right, you're not reading your words, you're not fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit, because when you are really where you're supposed to be in the Spirit, you will always recognize what did not come from God.
All right.
And then Paul speaks to this spirit in this man, and he curses this spirit, and blindness falls upon him. And then the man that was on the verge of conversion and believing, when he saw this sign, when he saw this wonder, he believed the gospel that they were preaching. The Holy Spirit is our power source.
Mm.
As I had this meeting on yesterday, and in this meeting we had in our Family of Churches Fellowship vision casting meeting, the first gathering, we had traditional Baptists, we had Church of God in Christ,
we had
independent, we had apostolic, and one of the things I said to them emphatically is that it does not matter what your denomination is. We all got to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You may be Baptist, you may be Methodist. At the end of the day, if we are going to do this gospel ministry effectively, we got to have the power of the Holy Spirit. Acts declares, you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you. My daddy used to tell me when I was a younger preacher and I thought that I was going to go to the seminary and that what I would get out of the seminary would be all I would need. My daddy would tell me emphatically. Sometimes I disagreed, you know, private. I would never disagree to his face. He said, you're getting all the learning, and he said, that's fine. He says, but son, the thing that's going to matter is the burning.
You've got to
have the Holy Spirit. If you do not have the Holy Spirit, you will not be able to do this gospel ministry the way Jesus Christ intends you to do it. The Bible says in Luke 9, 1 through 2, he says, then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Jesus gave his disciples power and authority over all devils. So as you all continue to study this book of Acts, my prayer, every listener will open your heart to the Holy Spirit and allow him to take over in your life and that you will begin to walk in this very same power. And that you will seek the Holy Spirit relative to his calling on your life. Don't do what is popular. Do what God has anointed and called you to do. And I know that as you study this book, the Holy Spirit is going to move mightily upon your lives and in your ministries. I thank you so much for your time today. God bless you,
Amen. Amen. Well, we certainly thank you, Pastor Blake. Wow, Jesus. This has been awesome today, and I tell you, I certainly, I'm just in awe. I told him I wouldn't cry today. My heart is just burning. You know, it rejoices. It's always a blessing when you can see, hear, and witness the vision of a visionary, and I'm just so in awe at what God is doing. As I just look back even with this radio blog talk and see that what he's saying about being anointed and appointed, you know, you can't do this ministry. You can't just be zealous. We have a zeal, but then if we don't have the power to implement that zealousness, then we'll find ourselves drowning. We'll be a sea that we're never able to get out of. So, you know, as you said, Pastor Blakes, and seeing people with titles, and we're living in a title-driven society, and that's what it's all about, who I am and, you know, my lot in life. But you don't see any fruits. My Bible tell me to try the spirits and see if there be of God, and even knowing them. We don't even know who's laboring among us. If you are professing to be, and I'm not going to go on no rant and rave today, but he said so many things. You know, you hear of prophets, and I've never seen so many prophets and apostles come up overnight. And I mean, some of them are real young, and it don't matter what age you are, because God don't have no respect of person for his age. But if you don't sit nowhere long enough to be anything, you haven't been under anybody long enough to be rooted and grounded in this thing. You know, we get filled with the Holy Ghost, and we know the evidence of that is speaking in tongues, but I don't know what kind of tongues these folks have today, because guess what? They can't even lay hands on themselves and get healed. Hallelujah. So we're seeing something, and as I begin to share with our audience, Pastor Blakes. You know, we often go to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, but we skip right over Acts, and then we're going on into Romans. Nobody want to deal with the book of Acts. Amen. But that's where the power was given. That's where God gave his disciples instructions, and he said, wait until you be endued. I just had a conversation this morning with two of the listeners. We were talking about waiting. Waiting don't mean to stop moving. We had one of the preachers preached a couple of weeks ago. He said, while you're waiting, keep on moving. So you just can't wait to sit down and wait and do nothing. Amen. If God have dealt with you, as the a pastor have said, and you have sought God, amen, and you know God have equipped you and have called you and have assigned you for a certain work, then guess what? Get up and do it. Sometimes we're looking for help, but, you know, I need my brother, I need my sister, I need my neighbor. Well, God didn't speak to them. He spoke it to you. So if he spoke it to you, you have to have the confidence to know that, guess what? If God be for us, he's more than the world is against us. Amen. So I certainly enjoyed this interview and have enjoyed the man of God expounding, and I know he's busy and what have you. We're going to release him, but we want him to come back when in his spare time, when he have a little time in between, to come back and minister the word to us again. He is a great teacher. I have listened to some of his YouTube messages and the different books that he's written. I even had a question here where I was going to ask you about a book that you have written titled The Laws of Manifesting Your Vision. Your vision, not your neighbor's vision, but your vision. I often tell people, you know, we want a prophecy. We want the prophet to come and give us a prophecy. Amen. But even after he given you that prophecy, we still don't do nothing with it. Hey, amen. If they tell us to go to the bank and God just deposit $1 million in your bank, you're going to question it. Is it? Is it real? Is it true? Well, get up and go to the bank like the prophet told you to do. If you don't get up and go see, guess what? It's going to be out of there in an hour. Amen. Excited about what God is doing with you and the ministry that God has assigned you to, Pastor Blakes. It just does my heart good. I'm going to be coming back home. I left 30 years ago, and I never envisioned myself returning to New Orleans, but I know it's so much work to do. And, you know, sometimes we become territorial, you know,
that's
and we feel like, hey, this is my territory. That's just like drug dealers. You know, they're controlling a certain area. And if you're not in my little circle, you can't come in this area. But let me tell you, there are souls dying everywhere. And you're not the only vehicle that God is going to use. He said, I have 7,000 that ain't even bow. So I'm returning home for ministry. That's a dual purpose. I don't want to get into all my personal business, but after 30 years of being how can I say this without sounding arrogant, but you know, I've worked in ministry for almost 30 years, and I tell you, I have seen some things. I have been in ministries where I have helped build and put facelifts and, you know, help men build their ministries. But I've been preaching this gospel for about 10 years now. I launched my own ministry 3 years ago, and I am in awe even today at what God has done and is doing. Amen. So it's pretty difficult to be an African American and a woman today in ministry. You know, there's a lot of stigma there. You know, men, of course, as you are preaching and teaching about women issues and what have you. Some men and some organizations don't even honor or respect women in ministry. You know, some say,
they don't even see it
in the Bible, but my Bible tells me something different. Amen. So, I just want to ask one more question of you, and then we're going to release you. Amen. What is the women's role in ministry, and how do you see women even in the organization that you all have just established?
Well, it's interesting that you asked that, because I did address that on yesterday. And another thing that God specifically wrote on my heart as it pertains to the direction of Family of Churches Fellowship International, FOCFI is what we call it, is that it is to be an authentic and genuine covering for women. We do not, and this is shared among all of the, we have quite a few bishops that are already a part of FOCFI who come out of other organizations from your area, Bishop Clark. We have Bishop Roberson from Michigan. We have Bishop Henry Roberts from Alabama. We have quite a few bishops, and we all share the same sentiment that it is not a male leader's role to say what a woman is called or not called to be or do. As a consequence, we have in FOCFI now, we have an acting female apostle. And I mean, you know, a genuine, solid woman of God, you know. So it is an organization that God said to raise up for the authentic and genuine covering of women. I have a real heart for the protection of womanhood in the gospel, because so often, because the church is dominated by males, women find very little opportunity to function in mainstream organizations. And it is my position, as it was my father's position, if God can use a donkey, he certainly can use an intelligent woman.
I see it all the time. Go ahead.
So that's our position. That's our position, that we're here to simply undergird and to prepare people to do what they say that God called them to do. And just like you just got to saying a few minutes ago, if God has called you to do it, the fruit will speak for you. It's not your, it won't be your gender. It'll be the fruit that will speak for you. So that's our position. Evangelist, I have enjoyed myself with you today.
Well, certainly we have enjoyed you, Pastor Blakes, and you have an open invitation to come anytime the Lord lay on your heart, or even if the Lord don't lay it on your heart, he may lay it on my heart to call upon you. And I just thank you for your prompt responses. I thank you for this connection that God, I believe the Lord has done it, and God is certainly opening up doors, and I certainly will need some friends down in New Orleans other than my family.
You can consider me and all of mine your friends.
We appreciate you. Give our love to your brother, your mother, and your wife, and we're just going to continue to support the Girls' Night Out in the Word next week. So I'm looking for quite a few of the women to come and support you in that meeting. So God bless you. We have certainly enjoyed you, and we, again, extend that invitation for you anytime you're open.
Thank you, and let's talk off air sometime next week. I'll be in the area, and I just want to hear what God has put in your heart. And just know
I love you.
All right,
well,
I
certainly will.
You.
Thank you so much, Pastor Blake. God bless you.
God bless you, dear. Bye-bye.
Man, amen. We're going to open up the lines. We're going to release Pastor Blake. Amen. And certainly we're going to open up the lines. We didn't have a lot of you called in today, so those of you that missed the opportunity, you can go back and listen to this live interview and this anointed word by Pastor R.C. Blakes of New Orleans, Louisiana. Amen. We're going to go to Minister Democrat. Amen. And we thank God for him helping us and getting those clips together of Prophet Robert Blake. Amen. What a great, great legacy, and the legacy is continuing on through his sons. Amen. So God bless you, Minister Democrat.
Amen, 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 amen. We thank and praise God for that word, amen. Like, all about activation, amen of God. You know, in the book of Acts, amen, a man of God said, amen of God, you shall know them by their fruits, not by their gender, amen, not by, you know, their age, but by their fruits. You can see what they are doing and whatnot. And the Bible said all these things shall follow them that believe. So, amen of God, I was encouraged hearing that teaching today, amen, how the man of God talked about, amen to God, amen. You already have these things once you accept them in your life, but to activate them, he says, ain't no getting around praying, ain't no getting around fasting, and ain't no getting around being in that word, amen. So, because you have discernment, but you got to activate it, amen, amen to God, by reading, amen, and staying in that Bible. So I'm encouraged, amen, that, amen, amen, the man of God, amen, reminded us, amen to God, about these things. These seem like basic principles that we should know, but amen to God, every now and then we get so, we got internet now, we got telephones, we got all these distractions now taking away our time, and the man of God reminded us, amen to God, no matter what, your first ministry, amen, it's your home. Get your house in order, amen to God, and then amen to God, amen, keep your spiritual life in order. So I'm encouraged, amen. That was a rhema word, amen. God bless you.
Amen, amen. It certainly was. We certainly enjoyed it. Let me see if Prophetess Glover is able to say anything. God bless you, Prophetess Glover. Okay, she may not be able to say anything at this time. We're going to go to Prophetess Darlene Davis. God bless you.
Bless the Lord. I truly thank God on today. I just thank God for the word on today. I just thank God. It was really a privilege and an honor to be just sitting and listening to the things that I was hearing on today. My spirit was lifted up, and it also gave me encouragement. And I began to think about what we should be doing, you know, to even go farther in ministry. So I just thank God for this broadcast. I thank God for the overseer. I thank God every day the table is spread. I thank God for the food that I get on this table. I'm truly blessed and honored to even be sitting. We don't even know how honored and privileged we are sometimes just to be sitting in the midst of these people, of these preachers and teachers, and it's a blessing. So I thank God for each and every one of you. God bless you all.
Amen, amen. God bless you, Prophetess Darlene. We're going to go to, I think this is Pastor Beatrice Martin. Is this Pastor Martin?
How are you?
God bless you. How are you?
Oh, that was a rich, rich word. You know, I got so much out of that. It's just, man, my heart is just overwhelmed, you know, because he spoke on in order to do what God has called us to do, we have to be anointed and not appointed.
Come on now.
He spoke that man appoints, but God anoints.
All right.
He spoke that oppositions will come our way, but when the Holy Ghost is leading you and you're full of the power of the Holy Ghost, no weapon formed against you shall prosper.
Hey.
And he spoke on, if you want to hear from God and stop trying to seek help from other people and asking other people, in order to hear from God, you got to fast and pray and turn your plate down. Because if you get in God's face, you will hear from God. He said so many things, my God. It just tells me it's important to be baptized and submerged in the Holy Ghost. We're baptized and submerged in so many other things. We're backbiting in all the things of the world, but we are to be like the book of Acts. We ought to be God-led. We ought to be spirit-filled people. We ought to recognize the devil when he step in. Oh, my God. I'm telling you, my heart, I mean, I just went on a whole nother new level. It's important to build a relationship with the Holy Spirit. We're too busy trying to build relationship with men and other people, but what about knowing who the Holy Spirit and building relationship with the one that comes upon us and gives us power?
Yeah.
So when he shared what he shared, oh, my God, my heart. my heart just got overwhelmed, all the opposition that we do face daily, you know. But he said, in order for you to know if you're called, you know, man can call you. Man will call you. But you got to make sure it's God that has called you, placed you where you are.
Is the one that sent you.
That's
Hallelujah.
It. And so, you know, I took notes. I set the foundation over here. Amen. I took notes. I wrote notes. I got fed today. And I'm in the book of Acts, reading
Amen.
And studying it anyway. Yesterday, the day before yesterday was good. Today was good. And I am in the book of Acts. And I truly got blessed. I feel like I went to a conference. I ain't trying to take everybody else's time up.
Hallelujah.
But I just got out of a conference today. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, we thank God, Pastor Beatrice, and I know you have experienced some things being a woman pastor and being
yes,
in ministry.
I have.
You know some of the hurts, you know some of the disappointments,
yeah.
you know some of the prejudice.
Yeah, setbacks, disappointment,
yes.
Opposition.
Yeah.
In fact, I've been jumped on twice. I've been came against, but like he said, when you got the power of the Holy Ghost, you know, I'm still here and I'm still standing. I've been through so many oppositions, but I let nothing separate me from the love of God. People tell me, you ain't no pastor. Well, you didn't call me. God called me.
That's it.
It's not that I'm appointed, it's that I'm anointed. And I'm not boasting. I'm boasting in God because I know who called me. And I had to get in fasting and prayer to hear from God, you know.
Amen.
But so many opposition comes our way daily. But, my God,
awesome
man of God.
We have afflictions of the righteous. But the Lord delivered them out of them all.
Hallelujah. Thank you,
Beatrice. We certainly appreciate you. And she will be hosting a three-day revival. Give them that address for the church, Pastor Martin.
The address is 610 North Hunter Street. It's February the 7th. Tonight it starts Thursday at 7 p.m., Friday at 7 p.m., and Sunday at 7 p.m. 610 North Hunter Street.
And that's Restoration for Life number 2.
Yes. Pastor Beatrice, come expecting a miracle.
All right. Well, I'm going to try to make it out there tonight. Lord,
yeah, and I really want
to
try to make it with you, too. At the end of this month, I want to come down, you know, with you at the end of this month.
All right.
So,
well, God bless you. Thank you.
All right.
God bless. We're going to Mother Charity. Mother Charity, God bless you.
Yeah, thank you, and God bless you as well. Praise the Lord to everybody.
Praise the Lord.
I tell you the truth, that was some rich words. I mean, my heart is rejoicing,
and you don't know
how glad I am. God has got somebody, hallelujah, that's going to tell you the truth. And I can just sit and listen at him. I mean, just hours, feasting on the precious word of God.
Mm.
You know, I used to listen at his father.
Yeah.
And I was telling my daughter, I had never heard, you know, nothing about them. So one day I turned it on. I had it on that spiritual station. And this man come on now, and he was so full of wisdom. And you know, it's something about it. But when it's of God, your spirit agrees with it.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell you the truth, he was just feeding me. I said, listen, who is this? And so then after that, that's when I heard it was Prophet Blake. Yeah, right. And suddenly, you know, I had missed him. And I did not know that he had passed away.
Mm.
And one day, I heard his son on there. He was talking, and that's when he was saying about his late father. And my spirit just dropped. I was so hurt about that. I said, Lord Jesus, I don't think I heard what I thought I heard. And then it was true, you know. I said, oh, my God. I said, Lord, I hope he has some of his tapes and things available so we will be able to get them, because he just spoke with such wisdom. and all, yeah. And he looked like he's going to be a chip off the old block.
Right.
Yeah, right, like they say, you know, he's following in his father's footsteps.
Following
I said, thank you, Jesus, because you know what? We as saints of God, we need this.
Mm-hmm.
We need this. And he brought out so many just infallible things, you know, that we need to hear.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so very true. And I tell you, and Pastor Bernard, I know that encouraged your heart for where you're going. Because, honey, I'm telling you down there, like you were saying, you know, it's all, I done heard all kinds of things about down there, you know, where they, the devil is busy, you know, down there. Because one time we had our convention held down there.
Yeah,
and I mean, our leader said, listen.
About 3 years ago.
Yeah,
two
well, this was, I think, been longer than that.
And, that's been like 20 years ago. The first one was like in 89, I think.
89.
Yeah, yeah, right around there. That's it. Exactly. And he said, I don't want nobody down there on, what's that street? Bourbon Street. He said, ain't no saint, no business being down there.
All
you
right,
know,
all right. They got souls down there too, though, mother. Your purpose.
I'm telling you the truth.
Them devils, believe that.
Yeah.
All right, Mother. Well, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you. I know Mother Cannon and Aaron and them, they're attending the council there in Michigan, so they told me they wouldn't be on today. The council is Thursday, Friday, and Saturday.
Yeah, right, it did. It started today, right, at 1 o'clock. Exactly.
All right, all right.
Saints is coming down from Lansing. Yeah, and it's going to be held at my church.
Yeah, Pastor Staten, all right.
That's right. Praise the Lord.
I have to get him on the line to minister for us, so I'll be talking with him shortly.
Oh, yes, right. Praise the Lord. I'm sure he'll be just as obligated to do that. Right. Praise God. But anyhow, I just really, he fed my soul today. And
oh,
I just thank God. You know, all of the saints of God, they need to hear a message like this.
Amen.
Right.
Amen,
we need this. We need this. Praise
right,
God.
Yes.
And oh, then he touched on so many areas of the church, you know. So I just thank the Lord for him, and we're certainly going to pray, and the Lord will strengthen him in his endeavors, and amen, and continue to go on in Jesus' name. Y'all
amen,
pray for me
amen.
Like
that. Thank you, Mother. We're going to go
all
to
righty.
Sister Albertine. God bless you, Sister Albertine.
God bless you, Evangelist Bernard, Sister Ruby, and all the callers, and
I hadn't seen you for a day or two. Everything is all right?
Everything. God has just been in the blessing business. My praise report is that the house that I was praying and fasting, I thank everybody for praying for me because I got my house.
All right.
I got a better one than one that I was asking in a better neighborhood. So I
all
thank
right.
God for
and that. God is blessing.
Yes, he is. And that word, yours is on its way. When you get to New Orleans, it'll be ready for you. It'll
yeah,
be right there. Nothing
in
to
the name
about.
Of Jesus.
Woo!
Glory to God.
Wait.
Yes,
and
Sister Ruben and Papa Sarah okay. to me this month. Yeah, glory. I received that. Jesus.
But
hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
He was incredible. You have some ministers that, you know, minister and preach, and he can really teach the word of God. He really
yes.
broke it down, and I mean, things that he said today, the way he meant it, the way he taught the word of God
mm-hmm.
was just powerful. I can listen to him for hours because
amen.
It's such a teaching, and the way he goes step by step and break it down to give you, for example, and then really, and then he goes back and really gets into it. That's teaching the word of God and
all
giving
right.
it truth, and so that you can understand it. And man, that was really good. I'm going back and listening to it again and again. I really enjoyed him. I really did. And thank God, it's just such an anointed man of God. And that word was great, right on time for me today too.
All
so
right.
I thank you for your beautiful broadcast and This is just such a great place to go and get fed. It really is.
Well, thank you for sending your prayers. We certainly are looking forward to continuing on. And this Acts of the Apostles, I tell you, if we stay focused and we really get into our word, we'll be able to receive something throughout this teaching. So we bless the Lord for it. Amen. We're going to go to Sister T. God bless you, Sister T. Thank you, Sister Albertine.
Thank you, Pastor. God bless you.
Right.
God bless. That was so powerful. He touched on so many different areas that really can help me. I just really appreciate the God in him. I thank God for this broadcast. I'm traveling, but I was able to hear the broadcast. So just continue to pray my sister to the Lord. I love you guys.
All right. Are you still in Oakland, Sister T?
I am in Stockton right now.
You're in Stockton right now. Okay. Well, I want you to come out if I have to pick you up next Friday. I want you to come out
okay.
for that conference, okay?
Okay. I'll give you a call later.
All right. Thank you. God bless you. Amen.
Bless you.
Amen. We're going to see if Sister Barbara want to have some words. If not, we're going to go to Sister Ruby. Amen. And we're at Sister Barbara. God bless you. Good to see you today. Okay, she may not want to say anything. So let's see if Sister Glover is able to say anything. God bless you, Sister Barbara. We see you. Thank you for your faithfulness. Amen. Prophetess Glover. Okay, we're going to pray for Prophetess Glover before we get off the line. We want to pray for Prophetess Glover. He's been experiencing some difficulties in our body, so we want to pray. Amen. So I'm going to ask Sister Prophetess Darlene to pray for Prophetess Glover before we hang up. But no, I want to hear a word from our co-host, Sister Ruby Larry.
Praise the Lord, everybody. It was just a blessing. The Lord just takes the broadcast higher and higher with more anointing and the word, and he's sending the people who he wants to minister to, his royal family of baptized believers. So I'm excited about what the Lord is doing, not about what we're doing, but what the Lord has done. And I was fed just like each and every one of y'all. And we had so quite a few on the chat room today. We had 1832 to visit us on the chat room. We had Peacemaker 101, and we had 1929. And we thank all of y'all for tuning in, because you could have done anything but come to the chat room, and we just thank you. Please feel free to come in each day. We are Monday through Friday, Saturday, and Sunday is early morning prayer, 7 o'clock Pacific time. God bless. It just was a blessing. So with that, I'll turn it back over to you, Evangelist or Prophet.
All right. Amen. See, Sister Ruby is on target. She let you know we on Monday through Friday. I wasn't even going there. Hey. Hallelujah. And thank God for those that's in the chat room. Amen. But right now, I want you all to draw your minds in. We have a few more minutes. We want to draw our minds in, and we want to stand in agreement as Prophetess Darlene intercede on behalf of our dear sister, my cousin, Prophetess Theodora Glover. She's been sick, and we want God to just heal her in the name of Jesus, and every report, amen, that it would come back negative. So I'm going to ask Prophetess Darlene to lead us in this prayer. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Everybody to join in. Hallelujah. Thank you, God.
Glory.
We thank you, God. We thank you for your word on today, God.
Yes, Lord.
We thank you for this broadcast, God. We thank you that we can come together and pray, God. We thank you that you have kept us and you have kept our minds stayed on you, God. Right now,
Lord,
we come on the behalf of your servant, God. Oh, God,
glory,
we ask
God,
that you catch Prophetess Glover right now, God. Oh, God, we ask that you catch her right now from the crown of her head to the bottom of her feet, God. We speak healing in the name of Jesus. We ask that you go into our home right now, God. God. Sweep through, God, in the name of Jesus. Let your angels camp in that home, God, wherever she may be, God, in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, we speak right now. Satan, you are a liar. Oh, your assignment is up. Oh, we come in the name of Jesus. I'm giving you eviction notice right now in the name of Jesus. You're not wanted. You have no authority in that body. You have no authority in her mind in the name of Jesus. No authority in her heart, because she belongs to God. So we come in the name of Jesus with the power and authority God has gave us. And we're bleeding the blood right now. We're calling the blood. Come on, blood of Jesus. We're calling the blood right now upon her right now in the name of Jesus. We're speaking, God. You said that I was a prophet. Hallelujah. So I'm speaking right now into a spirit in the name of Jesus. Prophet, you shall rise and be healed and be whole. And that thing shall never overtake her again in the name of Jesus. We ask right now that you breathe upon her, God. Breathe. Right down in her body in the name of Jesus. And blow out everything in her that's not of you, God, in the name of Jesus. And we thank you right now for being done, God, in the name of Jesus. Respiration, restore, and then we proclaim in the name of Jesus.
That's right, Holy Ghost.
In the mighty name of Jesus. And we proclaim her healing in the name of Jesus. We proclaim she shall go like never before in the name of Jesus. She shall rise like never before in the name of Jesus. God, I'm asking that you give her joy right now. I'm asking that you give her peace right now. We ask you right now, God. We proclaim the darkness to go inside and it is up in the name of Jesus.
Do it, God, for this one. Do it again, God. Do it again, God. Complete restoration in the name of Jesus. We thank you for the wholeness, God. We thank you for the healing, God, in the mighty name of Jesus.
We do pray. Hallelujah. And we do proclaim it in the name of Jesus. And it is so. In the mighty name of Jesus. Because you said so in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. All right. Yeah, Mama. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We thank you for the victory right now. We thank you for the healing right now. We thank you for the restoration right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. We bless you. Hallelujah. God, we bless you. We thank you, Lord. We thank you.
We count it done right now, God. In the name of Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. We bless you, Lord, for everything that our ears have heard today, God. God, we ask God to bless the man of God that made the great sacrifice to come on. Hallelujah. And answer some questions. Lord God, imparted a word to us. Hallelujah. We're asking you, Lord, to cover him, God. Let your blood bless him. Hallelujah. Bless his going out and his coming in. Hallelujah. Every airplane that he have to board, God. Everywhere that he have to travel for ministry's sake. Hallelujah. For the saints of God's sake, God. Go with him, God. Assign an angel, Lord God. Heal and protect him. Assign an angel, God, over his property. Assign an angel, God, over the saints of God. Oh, God, we asking you, Lord God, for all the oil that he pour out on others, God.
That's right. Pour it back into him. In the name of God.
Hallelujah, we thank you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, we know it's your will, God.
Yes, hallelujah.
When you're trying to help others. Hallelujah, not trying to make any fat men. Hallelujah, but you're trying to help the little man.
You're trying to encourage
the little man. Hallelujah, trying to inspire the little man that they can rise up and do what God have called them to do. Hallelujah, we thank you for every assignment. We're asking you to bless Pastor Morton today, God.
God.
Bless a revival, a 3-day revival,
bless God.
Bless God. spoken, God, where a soul will come up and
yes,
go down
God.
In Jesus' name, where a soul, hallelujah, will come back into the fold, where a soul, hallelujah, will commit,
God.
Oh, we bless you today, God. Continue to anoint her, God.
Jesus,
continue to keep her in your will, God. Remember our co-host, Sister Ruby, God. Continue
Thank
to,
you.
Lord God. Hallelujah. Comfort our heart, Lord God.
Jesus.
Let her worry, don't let her fret, God. We come against that spirit that would try to bind her. Hallelujah,
Jesus.
That would try to seduce her mind. Hallelujah, God, you still a healer. You
that's
are
right,
a comfort
that's right, that's
to
right.
God.
Go.
Oh,
Hallelujah.
Wrap
Hallelujah.
Your arms around her. We pray for every woman, man, and boy and girl on this line today.
Jesus.
Hallelujah, we pray for Minister Democrat. As
you
get ready to board a plane, Lord God. Take
yes,
them
God.
Over airway safely, God, in the name of Jesus.
Yes,
Hallelujah.
Come
get
God.
On
Come
the
on
plane.
God.
Ah, let an angel be on every wing, God. Bring him safely
Jesus,
to his
Jesus.
Destination.
Hallelujah, God.
Hallelujah. And at the appointed time, let
yes,
him come
God.
Home safely.
Yes,
Open
God.
Up doors, God.
Hallelujah.
Give us a new
Hallelujah.
Relationship,
Hallelujah.
God.
Hallelujah.
Name of Jesus, new
Hallelujah,
relationship, God.
God,
in the name
Jesus,
of Jesus,
Jesus
from the prophet of Zerline, God,
Jesus, Jesus.
Continue, Lord God, to
yes,
scan
God.
Our territory, God,
continue,
yes, God. Lord God, to
you
keep
God.
A mind to pray. Keep
Hallelujah.
With a mind to fast.
Hallelujah.
Keep with a mind, Lord, to get in your word. Remember Mother Cannon and all those yes. that are traveling to the council.
My
Bless
God, my God,
council.
My God, my God. Hallelujah, Lord.
In Bishop there in Michigan, God, in the name of Jesus. Remember Sister Patrice, God. We haven't seen her, God. Oh, God, but we're asking you to touch her. Whatever is going
Fine,
on in
God.
Our life, God, you
Hallelujah,
know all about
God.
It, God. We
Anoint
pray
her
before you today, God. In the name
God.
Of Jesus.
Jesus, bless God.
Continue to strengthen her, God. Let every report be negative. In the name of Jesus. Touch
yeah,
my
God.
In Angola, Louisiana, touch him, Lord. In the name
no.
of Jesus. Remember Danielle, God. Remember the attorney, God, that's working on our behalf,
God.
Oh, we bless you today, God. Remember Sister Barbara, Mother Terry. And remember, hallelujah, my sister. God. Oh, God, continue to touch her body in
oh,
the name
God,
of Jesus.
Angels,
bless
God.
My great-grandson, God,
Jesus,
that may
Jesus.
Be released from the hospital.
Hallelujah.
And be able to breathe. Hallelujah,
yes.
regularly, God. In the
yes,
name
yes,
of Jesus, bless all of my grandchildren, my great-grandchildren, God.
Yeah, God.
Oh, God. In the name
yes,
of Jesus. Oh, we bless you today, God. And
yes,
even
God.
My brother as he's traveling going to New Orleans, God. Bless
Touch
him, Lord
God.
God.
Touch him, God.
Bless him, Lord God. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We lift you up, God. Remember Sister T as she's
yes,
traveling,
God.
God. In
bless
the name
God.
Of Jesus.
Come on, God.
Thank you for their faithfulness, God.
Yes,
and all
God.
Of the listeners out in Radio Land, God, we
Hallelujah.
Thank you for them,
God.
God. All of our Facebook
we feel
friends,
doing
God.
It even We
to
form
all
we
those that visit
it,
us on
even
Twitter,
now,
God. Everyone
even
that comes in the
God.
Chat room,
even
that
now,
come
God.
On Twitter, God. Those that listen to these messages in the archives,
God.
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 I
want to
be saved. Hallelujah, that would encourage them.
Thank you, Jesus.
That may be on the verge of suicide, God. Those that are standing at the edge today, God.
Oh, God, help me to call on you, God.
You say, call on me while I'm near you, God. Oh, God, Jesus.
To
make our request known. Hallelujah, Lord. Remember Dr. Burford today, God.
Do it,
remember the gathering. I'm getting ready to lift
glory.
My
You're doing something. You're doing something, Holy Ghost. Hallelujah.
Lord God, to bring everything into his rightful place.
Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Yes,
we thank you today, God.
Hallelujah.
Remember Dr. Singleton, God. Continue to bless him, Lord God. In the name of Jesus. Prophet Davis, God.
Hallelujah, Lord.
Oh, God,
bless
and
God.
All those that come on the
bless
line.
Bless the peoples of God.
Hallelujah.
Bless him, God. Bless his fiance, God. In the name of Jesus. And all those that I haven't called their name, Lord God.
Even now, God.
Oh, God, remember my cousin, Patricia Smith. Continue to heal our body, God. In the name of Jesus, Evangelist Cummings,
God.
Continue to raise up, God.
Hallelujah.
Continue to let her breathe freely, God. In the name of Jesus.
Do it, God. Do it, God.
Today, God. Oh, there's no God like you.
That's right.
God like you, God.
Ain't
power like your power. Hallelujah. There's no mercy like your mercy.
Hallelujah, Lord.
Grace, God.
That's right. That's right.
Hallelujah. Like your love, God. We thank you, Lord God.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord.
We thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah, that you have no respect of persons. We thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah, because we belong to you. We thank you, Lord God, for the faith that you have given us in your kingdom. Help us to continue to run, God.
Help us, God.
Don't let us get weary in all doing, God.
Your people, God.
If we faint not, so time to faint, saints of God. It's time to stand with your loins girt about you. Hallelujah.
Yes,
it's time to stand with the whole arm of God. Put it on, amen.
Even now, God. Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Hold on, and know that no weapon formed against you,
it won't penetrate.
Right,
that's right, that's
it can't
right,
prosper.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
I have already declared it. I declare and decree today that Prophetess Glover, you shall live and not
hallelujah.
Die.
All
and
right.
You shall declare.
All right.
No weapon.
We magnify you, God. We make you bigger. We make you bigger. You.
And everything that rises up against you, God will condemn you.
Activated, God. Activated. Activated right now, God. Hallelujah. The healing. The healing. The healing, God. Hallelujah.
The righteous right in.
Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Safe in God's arms. We're safe in God's arms. Hallelujah.
Glory, God.
We're safe from all persecution. From the test. We're safe from the trials and the tribulations.
That's right.
Faith in his own. Hallelujah. There's a peace in God. We have to find that place.
Hallelujah, Lord.
We have to have peace in our
Jesus, hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Peace.
Hallelujah. Peace, Holy Ghost. Hallelujah.
To know that God will never forsake us. He said, when your mother and your father forsake you, I'll take you.
Jesus.
Hallelujah. He said, God in the vine. We have to stay in the vine. The vine is Christ Jesus. I don't care what it looks like. You tell that devil you thought you had me, but I'm the one that got away, baby. Hallelujah. In that first clip that Blake said, hallelujah, the devil only handle that what he can see. He don't know
all
what's
right.
deposited in you. He
that's
don't
right,
know
Holy
the
Ghost.
Power that you have. He acts upon
God,
what he because no man knows our heart. Only God knows the heart. The devil don't know what we thinking. He acts upon what we do and not what we think. God say, I know the thoughts I have of you. Thoughts of good, thoughts to prosper you. Hallelujah. I bless him today. Ooh, I give him glory. I give him glory. For this is the Lord's doing. And it's marvelous in our lives. Discouraged saints of God. Hang on in there. It's all going to be worth it. Hallelujah. It's all going to be worth it. If you can see and get a glimpse of what God has prepared for those that endure, those that go through, those that run this race with passion, hallelujah, there's a crown of righteousness.
Hallelujah, Lord.
Hallelujah. But you won't get it unless you endure. You go through unless you pass the test. Hallelujah. There's some difficult tests that's ahead of us. Hallelujah. But we have to have the confidence to know that we can do all things.
All right. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So people can go in and take a test, and if they're praying about it, God will bless them where they don't even have to study. They might take through the pages, but oh, baby, when you call on God and
thank
say, Lord, I need to pass this test. I
all
need
right.
this job. Hallelujah. I need this increase. I need
thank
this
you,
assignment.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord.
God will come in when you least expect.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. God will come in when you least expect it. Amen. While you're waiting, Isaiah said, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Then he said, teach me, Lord, how to wait. How many want to wait on God? Hallelujah.
Yes.
To wait on God, you got to endure some things. To
all
wait
right.
on God, you have to suffer some things. To wait on God, hallelujah, you have to bear these afflictions. Hallelujah. Yes. He said these light afflictions, they're only for a moment. Hallelujah. Lord, I didn't want to go there, but I was determined. I wasn't going to poke out today. Hallelujah. My heart is rejoicing. I ain't crying today.
Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah.
Like Mary. I cried my last tear yesterday.
Yesterday.
And you're almost tired.
All right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord.
For a new anointing. Hallelujah.
Yes,
new
yes,
anointing.
God.
After that word today, our minds ought to be elevated. Hallelujah. Our minds ought to be somewhere else. We shouldn't be thinking about what we're going through, but think about where you're going to. Hallelujah. Not what you're going
thank
to.
Thank you, Lord.
Where you're going to, minister.
Thank you,
Christ. Lord, he has stirred me up today. But
yes,
I'm glad
God.
He ain't on the line to hear this.
My God.
And listen later. I feel I'm drunk in the spirit. I feel like I've had some, what they call that, Red Bull or something. Glory
all
to God.
Right, God.
I tell
hallelujah.
You, when you let the anointing, woo, Jesus.
Thank you.
Thank you, God.
Ever been drunk in the spirit? Hey, glory to God.
Yeah.
Hallelujah, all you see is Jesus.
Yes,
hey, glory to God. I feel him today. Hallelujah, because he's doing something for his people. Doing something for his people. Ooh, you know God will never abandon you. Walk away. Family will turn
my
it
God,
back
my
on
God.
You. Oh, but I serve a God. I serve a God. Hallelujah. That's able to do exceedingly, abundantly,
exceedingly.
All that I can ask. Hallelujah, I bless him today. I'm going to let y'all go because I feel like going on. I feel like going on. Anybody else feel like going on today?
Hallelujah.
I said no matter what you throw at me, hallelujah, I may not be braced. And I may not be able to withstand it when you throw it. But I tell you, just give me a moment. Hallelujah, give me a moment. To gather myself. Give me a moment to get my composure. Hallelujah.
Yes.
You're going to see something, devil. Huh? Yeah, I ain't afraid of you. Hey,
all right.
Yeah, you have no
glory
power.
God.
You
thank
lost
you.
When you exalt, when you said, I'm going to exalt my kingdom above God. God said, not so, baby. You're
that's
not
right.
the creator. I created you, Lucifer. I created you,
right. That's right.
The evil day. How you going to exalt your throne above God? You can't create nothing because you're ignorant, you're stupid, you're dumb. Hallelujah.
Yes.
God is the creator. He's the one that gives us witty inventions.
Yes,
hallelujah.
God.
He is the one that gives us power. Hallelujah. And might.
That's right. That's right, Holy Ghost.
God, I bless you.
That's
y'all
right.
Better remember, go back to Deuteronomy 28, 1 through 14. Start pronouncing those blessings over your life again. Sometimes we at the beginning. Hallelujah. And then even me, and I say I got to pull back out. I've been going to some other scriptures, but I said, Lord, I was going to read that every day. Hallelujah. I got to read it every day. And sometimes you get a little despondent, and then you're looking for something else. But saying all what the word say, saying all what God has given you, like the man of God said earlier. If you know the Lord has called you, and you're going to do a work, do it. I don't care if you're black, white, ugly, hallelujah, pretty, short, skinny, whatever you are. Say, I'm going to do what God has called me to do. And don't back up.
Hallelujah.
I'm drunk right now, y'all. You're the Messiah. Oh, God, I bless you. God has been good to us. There's no need to worry. There's no need to fret. Walk in your salvation. Walk in victory.
Hallelujah.
There is victory in Christ Jesus. Mother Charity said yesterday that God is an inexhaustible God. Hallelujah.
Huh?
Yeah, he has some means and he has some ways and he has some doors that you haven't even seen. Yeah, you know, Messiah. Glory to God. Oh, God, on days like this.
That's all right.
I hate to stop. Hallelujah. Anybody got a prayer request? Anybody got something that they want to say that's in their spirit and the Lord is leading them? Hey, God, I can't lose it. I can't lose it. I'm going to let y'all go. Hey, you're the Messiah. Oh, Jesus. God is a great God. Keep on looking to the hills from where cometh your help. God, I bless you.
Hallelujah.
Thank you for that word on the day. Hey, God, glory to God. Also, I want y'all to pray for my other cousin. I have so many people in me. Woo, you know, God, we ain't going to have no excuse.
That's
when we stand before God. I have whole lot of family members that's not saved. But guess what? I got enough that is saved that we can cause them that's not saved to come in.
All right.
My cousin, Pastor Jacqueline McLemore, she's on the road traveling now. And she texted me and said to pray for her. How y'all don't know about Messiah? I'm an ex-minister Democrat to go forth and pray for Pastor Jackie. This is a 13-year pastoring in Montgomery, Alabama. And you talking about a woman that loved God. How y'all don't know about Messiah? So I don't know what she's going through, but she's on the evangelistic field right now traveling. Pray for
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Even now, God. Hallelujah. Lord, we come right now, God. Hallelujah. Even to God. As we pray for this evangelist, oh God, as she's over the dangerous roads and byways. Amen to God. We ask that we touch and agree with every prophet on this line. Amen to God. As you begin to cover this woman, oh God, as she's on the road. Hallelujah. Being that there are principalities, amen, assigned, amen to God, to that part of Alabama. Amen to God. Amen to God. That we have to pray God's covering in the name of Jesus. Every intercessor on this line, begin to cover her with us in the name of Jesus. God, we pray right now, God. Hallelujah. Oh God, that no weapon formed against her, God. Any tongue being formed against her. Oh, God, any spell, oh, God, we come against it in the name of Jesus, oh, God. Oh, God, anything on the roads and byways, oh, God, we come against it in the name of Jesus, oh, God, asking, God, that you activate our anointing, oh, God, that whatever demon comes in front of her, oh God. Oh God, you can activate that right spirit, oh God, that right power, God, that right spiritual gift, oh God. Oh God, to rebuke it in the name of Jesus. Oh God, we stand with the prophets on this line even now, God. We stand with the evangelists, oh God, on this line, God. We stand with the intercessors, oh God. Oh God, and those that you have assigned to this ministry, oh God. Oh God, and we stand together and come against that demon, oh God. Hallelujah, oh God, that's been assigned, oh God. Oh God, that lurking spirit, oh God. Oh God, been assigned to attack her ministry, oh God. But in the name of Jesus, God, together, God, we cancel that assignment in the name of Jesus, oh God. Oh God, and as we are praying, oh God, every soul under the sound of my voice, God, that there be no backlash and no retaliation, oh God. Oh God, right now, God, be covering, oh God, their house, oh God. Cover their computers, cover their phones, oh God. Oh God, cover their ministry, oh God. Cover their congregations, oh God. In the name of Jesus, as they pour it out in this prayer, God, pour it back into them, oh God. Oh God, that, oh God, amen, Evangelist Jackie, amen, oh God. Oh God, that, oh God, her preaching, oh God, can be with power, God. Hallelujah, not by, oh God, God, by people. Oh God, but because of the anointing, oh God, every yoke, oh God, that comes out of her mouth, that she begin to break yokes because of that anointing, God. That somebody gets saved, oh God, because of something she says, God. That somebody get healed, oh God. Oh God, because she's in the room, oh God. Oh God, or because she walked past them, God. We don't know who we should pray for, oh God. But oh God, we pray God's anointing on this woman of God, oh God, that when she goes in at city, God, that principality at that toe, God, that's a sign, oh God, that she will not be attacked, oh God. Oh God, but that she will be protected, oh God, as one of your angels, oh God, delivering your word. We speak this prayer right now, oh God, in the name of Jesus Christ. We come together as a people on this line, oh God, covering this woman of God. Hallelujah. Every evangelist, amen, of God. Hallelujah. Every prophet, amen, of God. Every intercessor, amen, as they covering, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Amen. If you would just stretch forth your hand right now in the name of Jesus, oh God, because, amen, of God, people are under satanic attack, amen, of God, because people are about to expand their territory. We pray right now, oh God, that you cover that woman of God right now, God, that you cover that ministry right now, God. Hallelujah. And those on this line, God, amen, as they got their hands stretched forward, oh God, that you activate their ministry even now, God. Hallelujah. Even if it's in their family, even if it's in their home, even if it's in their prayer group, God, begin to activate their ministry as they pray for this one. We pray this, God, covering in the name of Jesus, that you bless all the mantles that's on this line, oh God, all the ministries that's on this line, oh God. Amen. And that woman of God, amen, of God, let her feel this anointing, oh God. Hallelujah. Somebody will be saved. We pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Somebody said amen. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, God.
Be encouraged. Ask your husband to listen with you. Gave us a great interview.
This building, let's lift
up. Amen. God bless you all. For both Fridays.
We're going to
be able to listen to this.
The Bible declares that we are to worship Him in the beauty of holiness. I want every hand lifted.
Amen.
If you want to close your eyes, go ahead and close them. But I want you to focus
upon
Jesus now.
For
He alone is worthy to be worshipped and worthy to be adored. Can I get an amen on that?
Amen.
Can I get an amen on that?
Hallelujah.
The Bible records in Matthew chapter 2 and verse number 11.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, the wise men came to the place where baby Jesus was. It says when they saw Him, they fell down and worshipped Him. Everybody say, fell down. They bowed down and they worshipped Him. And the scripture says, and then their treasures were opened. And they presented unto Him gifts. And therein is a glorious revelation of the Spirit. And it is this, that when you and I will humble ourselves and begin to worship the treasure that is in this earthen vessel begins to open up. Somebody say yes. and the gifts of the Spirit of God that are within us begin to flow. I believe if we will worship God with our whole heart, our whole spirit and soul, God's presence and power will begin to move in this place. People can be healed and delivered even while we're worshiping and recording. Does anybody believe that with me? I want you to lift up your hands now and begin to lift up your voices. That's right. Just begin to open your own mouth and begin to worship Him. Out of your spirit, just begin to bless His holy name. If He's done anything for you, just begin to worship. Just begin to worship. That's right. Begin to worship. Begin to bless His name. Begin to bless His name. Come on and bless His name. Bow down and worship Him. Worship Him. Oh, worship Him.
Worship Him.
Worship Him.
Oh, worship Him.
God bless you all. We'll see you tomorrow for Provoke Fridays. Have a beautiful day in Jesus' name. Hallelujah.